This is a replay of the Wednesday night Valentine's Day WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Happy Valentine's Day. Think about Valentine's Day. You think about love. You think about love. You think about doo-wop. Well, I do anyway. All right, so this hour, Steve Probst is joining us. You should know Steve from his radio shows, his record collecting days, and my God, voluminous author of all sorts of things. Most recently, those old school records, which we talked about when he was joining us last week, and undoubtedly will again. That came out a year ago right now. So those old school record, 1,000 selected R&B and rock and roll and soul 45 RPM singles. Yeah, great, great stuff. But here is the deal. Steve is giving us an hour of his time and only that. So very often the hour ends and that's when many of you are calling. Well, there won't be any holdover tonight. So if you want to chime in and join us in process, call early. 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. Now you have been warned and we welcome Steve Probst to, let's see if I can get the magic twanger here. I should have had this ready beforehand, but oh no, I just sit here, to WGN Radio. How's it going, Steve? How are you, Steve?
Say to you, and it's going okay.
Excellent.
Out here.
Excellent. Yes, I heard you were a little under the weather, so I was concerned, but you're sounding great.
Yeah, the weather improved.
Good. Excellent. All right. So before we even get into all the things I wanted to talk about, last night someone had asked about the history of Times Square Records, the record shop, and of course the label. And as I was going off on a tangent in many directions, of course you knew that I'd have to discuss the Five Sharps and Stormy Weather. Uh-huh. And I figure you'll be the definitive answer. Now, I came to the conclusion a while ago that the 45 did not exist for a lot of reasons. But then I read somewhere that Marsha Vance, the late Marsha Vance, claimed she had seen a copy. But I'm sure you've probably tried to track it down. Did Jubilee ever press the Five Sharp Stormy Weather, the original, not the 1964 remake, on 45?
Yeah, well, bootleggers had fun pressing it up. So.
Yes.
Those are the only copies I have, but to my knowledge, 78 only.
That was what I thought, too. Not only the year, 1952, and Jubilee and all that, but also there was a vinyl shortage with the Korean conflict and all sorts of things. So I didn't figure it existed. Val Shibley never saw a copy. So if you haven't seen one either, then that's going to be the definitive word on that.
Well, that's where it's going to be until somebody actually proves they have it. And I don't. What happened to Marsha Vance's copy? One.
Well, she didn't have it. She was interviewing someone, a member of one of the groups who had the record and showed it to her. And I forget the member, but he died in 1983. And so,
wow.
I think
I had not heard that story.
Yeah, I think that Unca Marvi, from all his doo-wop writings online,
sure,
actually chronicled that. And so, unfortunately, Marsha's been gone since 88, and the guy who she saw the record with died in 83. So if there was a copy, it's long gone now.
Yeah, well, you know, doo-wop is full of rumors and did this happen and could this possibly exist? And sometimes yes and sometimes no. But in this case, I'd say it's a definite maybe.
Right. Yes, exactly. Now, of course, you are infamous for, and I won't say it's an argument settler, but it certainly shows all sides of the coin on what was the first rock and roll record. So I got to ask, did you ever think of doing what was the first doo-wop record?
G by the Crows would be a good candidate, but wow, you know, doo-wop is the child of R&B vocal harmony. You know, the early harp tones and the early Drifters and Clovers. Those groups were not doo-wop, but here comes Frankie. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, yeah. Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And suddenly doo-wop takes its place. So I think that doo-wop started with Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Before that, it was R&B group harmony.
You know, I tried to track this down, and the way I went about it was, okay, what's the first song I can think of that had doo-wop in the background? Because, of course, you're absolutely right. Uh-huh. This was vocal group harmony. The word doo-wop itself was decades later. But sure. The Delta Rhythm Boys in 1945, just a-sittin' and a-rockin'.
Okay, well, sure. But yeah. That was not the that was the background harmony. It wasn't the point of the record.
How about Mary Lee by the Rainbows?
Okay, well, that's a good one. That's 1954. So,
well, same as okay. G by the Crows, so that would be an easy fight.
we could live on this tangent for a while.
Well, and it's actually a lot of fun, I think. And as far as hits, I came up with probably the Turbans' When You Dance, the first big hit, although G by the Crows arguably big as well. But as I say, it wasn't until probably 1971 that the phrase became well-known, and I know a lot of people attributed that to the late Gus Gossert, but it turned out that it was at least a decade before that. The Chicago Defender wrote of doo-wop in 1961. So when did the phrase come into being?
Well, the first record I know of that actually has the phrase doo-wop is Bring Back Those Doo-Wops by the Bagdads, and that's really late, like 1968.
Yeah.
That the Bagdads were an extension of the 16s,
right.
And recorded for the Double Shot label, you know, successful because Bretton Wood recorded for Double Shot. So Bring Back Those Doo-Wops, which was sort of a those oldies but goodies remind me of you, you know, a throwback type record, was the first example I know of that particular spelling, doo-wop, in a doo-wop record.
Right, right. And Double Shot, of course, was Irwin Zucker, who must have been the world's greatest promoter as far as that went. This guy was...
You know, I talked to him once. I cold called Irwin Zucker. He says, I only take calls after midnight. So I thought, well, heck with it.
That's so funny because he'd been on my show a few times and it was after midnight.
Yeah. So. Hal Wynn and Irwin Zucker were a couple of people I would have been... I talked to both of them. Hal Wynn was more, you know, their labels, they were partners for quite a while, I think. And Hal Wynn sort of told me a little bit about Double Shot Records and his partnership with Irwin Zucker and how he named Bretton Wood and little tidbits like that. It was quite the conversation.
I'll bet. Those are wonderful.
Questions. I should have asked them a few I did, I learned a few things.
Yeah, it's funny because, of course, all the articles you see now about Bretton Wood, of course, Alfred Smith, they make it seem like he came up with this on his own in 1961. I'm like, I don't think so. I think you probably want to talk to Irwin and Hal about that. So,
Bretton Wood told me something very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know about these days, but in the Art LeBeau days before Art passed away, if Art threw a concert, Bretton Wood was sure to be on it because that's a SoCal favorite artist, you know. I mean, probably the most enduring artist of the whole period. But Brenton told me that he never really had the chops to do live performance, or in the early days at least. He preferred to be in the studio and didn't have the stage background.
Presence,
artists that record have the background of being a live act.
Yeah.
Well, it was just the opposite with him. He did the recording and then finally figured out how to take his act to the stage and please his audience that way. But it was backwards for him, if you follow my drift.
No, absolutely, because I know originally he was a high school track star in Compton, and learned to play piano, a few other things, got into the Little Freddy period. I still laugh every time I play Too Fat, Big as a Pig. But but he didn't have a stage presence or anything, and I would bet Art LeBeau probably helped him with that along the way.
Well, I would think Art LeBeau helped a lot of people with a lot of things.
Yes, yes, indeed. We're talking with Steve Probst, and I don't yet have on the website links to all of his books, but I'll tell you what, if you go to Amazon and just put in Steve Probst, P-R-O-P-E-S, you will see everything from the 1973, those oldies but goodies, A Guide to 50s Record Collection, onto these old school records, and so much in between, and we'll talk about them all. But if you have questions, sometimes you call me and ask me things that I just flat out cannot answer. Here's the guy who can. In the meantime, I know if you're listening to the show, you love radio. And if you love radio, you probably know all about Bob Crane. And if you don't, you should. Bob Crane was, like the rest of us, very disgusted with the state of radio years ago and how the newer models all had one thing in common, lousy reception, and he determined that he was going to just do it better. And boy, did he. Today, there are a number of radios that Bob Crane puts out, and all of them have in common just terrific AM and terrific FM reception. The CC Radio 3 is the almost everything radio with the addition of Bluetooth. You've now got, everything you want, and sounding good, too, sounding a lot better from any smartphone speaker, that's for sure. And if you listen primarily to voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone. It's got separate bass and treble controls adjusted to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself in audio clarity. It's got, in addition to great reception on AM and FM, the emergency capabilities as well, NOAA weather and the weather alert, and the 2-meter ham band. Yeah, it'll run on the power cord, of course, but if you put a set of batteries in there, it's going to play for over 170 hours. You can go to ccradio.com anytime and read all about it, ccradio.com. It's the CC Radio 3. If you can't go online, they've got the world's best customer service. Call them at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll send you a catalog in the mail so you can glance to your heart's content. But if you can go online, the only thing I'm going to tell you is if you're a radio lover, you're going to find something you got to have. Maybe it's the CC Radio 3. You check it out. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. You're a real gone cookie, and I love you, Booby. I'll be dancing up the storm till your feet get warm. Booby, I'll be is a hobby with you. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Most people think about the Platters and their Mercury period, all those pop standards that Buck Graham loved so much. But to me, it was Federal in 1954. And I tried to think, what would be my all-time favorite doo-wop record? It's hard to pick, and I've got a whole list, but I've decided that it's Vuviavi. Now, I'll put you on the spot, Steve Probst. What's your favorite? And I know it's impossible to pick, but just off the top of your head.
Well, okay, I sort of programmed myself to pick a favorite Valentine's love type record. So
let's go there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'll start with one that actually charted on KFWB 1 week only, but a real West Coast classic. This might tilt heavily towards the West Coast. Beware by Jesse Belvin. Wow, what a record.
Absolutely. And his wife wrote it. Oh, man, that's a wonderful song.
Yeah, and it's sort of a prototypical love song. Another love song by another giant L.A. Vocalist who I was got pretty friendly with was Richard Berry's Together. It's pretty obscure, but man, what a record! What
yes.
a song! What a performance!
Yes.
You're familiar with it, I'm sure.
Yes. And you,
Together by Richard Berry.
Right.
Okay. Now, moving east a slight bit, we come up with Sincerely by the Moon Glows.
Of course.
We've got, the fourth and fifth are sort of tough. I guess I'd have to go with I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos. And one that's not exactly a love song, but it's about love gone away. Just the definitive record that brings about that feeling is The Skyliner, Since I Don't Have You. Okay, those are five records. Now, tell me why I'm wrong.
No, I absolutely won't. And they're all classics, other than Richard Berry, that very few people have heard, and maybe we'll play that next. But sure, you know, I Only Have Eyes for You, or Sincerely, or, you know, The Skyliners, you name it. It's just great stuff. Now, when you were talking about Love Gone Wrong, my favorite like that would have to be All Alone by the Channels. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How about Love Gone by the Enchanters?
Okay. Yeah.
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 Okay.
And
now we can start playing this game all night.
you betcha. And of course, you know, you were responsible in many ways for keeping doo-wop alive with a doo-wop society. Is there any remnant of that still around L.A.?
Not that I know of. All the feuds that came out of it are still around, but not
yes.
the actual member. The doo-wop society no longer meets, no longer gives shows. People capable of performing and drawing the crowds, the big names, are unfortunately no longer with us. Oh, another song that another group I was thinking of, Could This Be Magic by the Dubs.
Oh, the Dubs, yeah. And that's absolutely New York-centric, yes.
Yeah, I had to throw in a New York record.
Oh, yeah.
But the doo-wop society, unfortunately, no longer doo-wops.
Yeah, and I understand that, because you're right. Who would you book? But the saddest part to me is the frustration that when we leave the earth, it won't be long before there's basically no remnants of this. I don't know anything that really will keep this alive. Do you?
Well, the records still exist, and
the
competition for the records still exists, even among people that weren't around when the records came out. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I'll keep writing those books. And 20 years ago, they would have been bestsellers. Now you try to hook people in by talking about things that they weren't familiar with on a first-person basis, try to get them to, spark their interest in trying to find out more and looking for the records and looking for the sound. That's the best I can do. You do your part, and I do my part, and who knows what the future holds in that regard. I mean, come on, pre-war music, blues and country and those forms of pre-war records are very, Robert Johnson.
Sure.
And the blues tradition from the 1930s is still very much alive, and very few people are around that I know of that were active in those days. So I don't give up hope. It was a real form that dominated for probably a decade and a half. So I think I haven't lost hope.
Good. And, yeah, a decade and a half, but, of course, thanks to Art LeBeau, really until very recently in Los Angeles with regular concerts that were heavily attended.
Yeah, they were. It was a specific audience and a specific fan base. But, yeah, he had that going on. He knew how to promote it, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So I guess it's up to us to try to promote it as best we can.
Yeah, good luck to that. But you betcha we'll at least talk about it for the next half hour, and hopefully someone will join us. So, like I say, you call me all the time. I know nothing compared to Steve Probst. So 888-876-5593, 8888, R-O-L-L-Y-E on WGN Radio.
Together,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm so glad that Steve Probst is joining me. Brought that up because I wouldn't have thought of it, Steve. And, you know, to me, that record is so odd. It seems like it's fighting itself. And the girls in the background, didn't they later become the Blossoms when they added Darlene Love?
Yeah, yeah. They were they were the Dreamers, and I guess they went through several name changes, but the main name change was from the Dreamers to the Blossoms. Richard was very influential. Charles Wright told me that he wrote the song Eternally off of Together.
Yeah.
That was his inspiration for that giant L.A. hit, Eternally, that
sure
came out on about 16 different labels, thanks to Huggy Boy.
Right. Well, exactly right, that he pressed up in his garage.
Yeah, really. Hey, can I tell you, since we were talking about Art LeBeau, I have a story that you might enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Art LeBeau, out of the blue, if I have your permission.
Absolutely.
Art LeBeau, out of the blue, shut down Original Sound Records. He got an offer he couldn't refuse. He had that little bungalow-type office at in West Hollywood that was just too valuable to keep operating as a record label. So he literally just walked away, left all the contents in the building, hired a couple of security guards, put up a fence. But you think that's going to keep the record fanatics, the vinyl fanatics, and the people that like to embellish their own collections with Art LeBeau material? So that didn't work. You know, these collectors came in and bribed the security guards and walked away with.
Oh my God!
Well, I remember one guy walked into the Orange County Record Show with box sets of oldies but goodies albums, Lance Romance singles on a short-lived Art LeBeau label, all sorts of different 45s. These collectors went in and also got signed Art LeBeau checks that I think are still being given out as tokens of history at record show. You know, buy a record and get an Art LeBeau check for for the price of nothing. And his divorce papers were in a desk, and some Art LeBeau fan now owns Art LeBeau's divorce papers. So
I would love to see that.
Was looted. It was looted pretty completely.
Yeah, I would. You know, I've still got a copy, and you probably do too, of Sears suing Ritchie Valens's mother for the guitar. And you know, I think Art LeBeau's divorce paper would go so nicely with that. So, how can we get a copy?
I don't know who has it. Maybe they're listening tonight. Call up if you have Art LeBeau's divorce decree.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure because they probably would have
with it.
Probably would have had all that oldies but goodies game that he was marketing for a while. There were probably a lot of those. And
yeah, a friend of mine was had the job of trying to promote those games at department stores. It didn't really happen. I think I still have a copy of that game in the garage. I should break it out and try to play it.
Yeah, I've got a copy. In fact, he actually sent me an oldies but goodies jacket because I sold so many on KOA.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm sure there were gold records. I mean, think about the memorabilia that would have been in that office.
Oh yeah, and lots of 45s, lots of photos, lots of weird stuff that how about Art LeBeau bobbleheads?
Yes. Absolutely. I'm surprised they don't have them for the back of the Chevy, so you know, you can kind of have the eyes blinking with the turn signals.
Yeah, Art LeBeau will always be with us if you have an Art LeBeau bobblehead.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. No. Well, you know, it was between Art LeBeau and Huggy, it really was a tale of two people, because I think that I always thought musically that Huggy Boy was absolutely, to my mind, more in tune and more in love with the stuff that we were in love with. But Art LeBeau was a pure businessman. He was bright.
Oh, yeah. Ask his assistant, Paul. It was not a happy separation when that happened.
Yeah, oh, I'll bet. But yeah, if Huggy had just one-tenth of the business sense of Art, it would have been amazing.
Well, his horse never came in, you know, come on.
Well, you know, that's right. And when you say that, I'll always laugh when he got it for tax evasion. And he said to the judge, "Well, Your Honor, I didn't know I was supposed to give the government a cut."
Well, Huggy told me a story about the IRS visiting him, and the closet behind his desk was loaded with, this is when pens were valuable.
Yeah.
You know, if you visit a gas station, you get a free pen these days, but they were valuable at one time. He had a closet full of pens, and he had to prop his chair that he was sitting in, talking to the IRS, against the closet door, because the closet door is about to pop open.
Oh, God.
And all these pens would come flying out, and they'd be held against him. Huggy Boy told me this story about John Dolphin had some tax problems, and I think it was tax problems, some sort of court proceeding, and Art Huggy Boy testified for John Dolphin and helped get him off. And so John Dolphin comes up to Huggy after the trial or the hearing and says, "Huggy Boy, you're my white angel." And that was, I don't think Huggy ever took that to the air, but that would have been a good one.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, Dolphins of Hollywood was just tremendous. And as you well know, but as other people didn't, the name was basically a spoof, because black people couldn't own a business in Hollywood. So he put Dolphins of Hollywood in South Central.
Yeah, he said, if I can't go to Hollywood, I'll take Hollywood down to South L.A. And he did.
Well, yes, and that all that central, all those areas down there were just amazing. And, of course, you know, seeing Huggy Boy in the window and all that, it didn't get better than that.
No, it didn't. But the LAPD wasn't crazy about all those kids coming in from Hawthorne and South Bay, and they tried to chase them away. We don't want you kids here buying these records, so don't come back. Don't go in that store.
And, right. Yeah, we don't want you anywhere near Vernon and Central.
No, not at all. Yeah. So just a couple of stories to remind you that people are still talking about these very influential people in L.A. During the day. You know, I went to, I don't know if you know that, but Art LeBeau had Don Barrett gave an interview with LeBeau, and Lane Quigley had an extra ticket, and he invited me to come up and use his ticket for this evening with Art LeBeau. So I asked Art, I said, "Okay, you know, we all know your name was Art Nguyen. How'd you get the name Art LeBeau?" And he said, "It was the last name of the secretary at a radio station in San Francisco where he started out. He just took her last name." But I should have asked him this story. If he remembered one time on, what was it? KFBD became KGBS, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I remember one time he played Tallahassee Lassie by Freddie Cannon, and he said, "Don't call me complaining about people from East L.A. Quit calling up and complaining about she's my Tallahassee Lassie down in West L.A.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
Yeah. He was upset because he was getting all these complaint calls from East L.A. about this reference to West L.A.
Which, of course, it wasn't. Right. Oh, that's great. LA. Yeah. Just so wonderful times. And of course, you know, now the only time you're going to hear that kind of radio is if somebody has a show on public broadcasting like you used to.
Or on the internet. tons of shows on the internet playing.
Right, you can't do that.
I mean, who doesn't have an internet radio station these days?
That's true, including Wayne Quigley, the Memory Lane show.
Sure, absolutely. It's where you go to hear any kind of music you want to hear. There's a lot of rare music being played. You just have to know how to find it, but it's not that difficult.
No, you know, you're right, and that is maybe the real upside of the internet. And so far, at least, while YouTube goes on rampages under copyright and all that kind of crap, so far they haven't really, in any way that I can see, removed any doo-wop or any of the obscurest LA oldies that we love. We're talking to Steve Propes, and if you want to join in, this is the time, 888-876-5593, and Steve is absolute royalty. Interviewing the likes of Joe Turner and Ike Turner and Curtis Mayfield and Bo Diddley and Bobby Day. Oh, yeah, love Bobby Day. All right, of course, Richard Berry, too, and Don Julian, and on and on and on. So, you got questions, Steve has answers right here on WGN Radio.
Gee whiz, I can't believe that you love me. I can't believe that an angel like you could fall in love with me so tenderly. Gee whiz, why do I thrill when you kiss me? My heart stands still when I'm holding your hand. The feeling is so grand. So grand. How do you talk to an angel? What words should I say?
Raleigh James talking with Steve Propes, and it's interesting because the topic originally, as Steve brought up, was romantic doo-wop, and I don't think it gets more romantic than Bob and Earl. And I know you have certainly interviewed Bob, probably Earl too, Steve.
Yeah, well, I interviewed Bobby Day on my TV cable TV show.
Yeah.
Bobby Ralph he was the follow-up to Bobby Day. Bobby Day left Bob and Earl after he hit with Rock and Robin. They had so the Harlem Shuffle, Bob and Earl was Bobby Ralph. It's confusing. I'll make it more confusing, but Earl was always Earl Nelson.
Right.
And Gee Whiz, my God, what a great song. And, of course, my top five or top six will change every 30 seconds. So, you caught a snapshot of me. And there's so many great records out there, but that's one of them. I'm surprised you didn't play Angel Baby as your favorite.
Yeah, well, we know what I think of that.
I meant my worst records of all time. I thought of a record that always gets turned off when I hear it start. It's Beep Beep by the Playmates.
Oh.
For some reason, I cannot stand that record.
Well, it's the definition of Wimpy White, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt they were from Connecticut. But what's interesting about that, I always think about that record because, of course, it was one of the first rock and roll albums when Roulette released At Play with the Playmates. And, back then you'd see the album charts and be things like Theme from South Pacific. So to have a group like the Playmates actually have an album, that's pretty out there.
Well, yeah, but Playmates had some decent records. I mean, What is Love? I like that one.
Joanne. Okay. Yeah, Joanne. All right.
Joanne, yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. That's up there with Old Julie by the Crescendos.
Okay.
that kind of sound.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but of course, Beep Beep was going to be a huge hit. Novelty Records, and nobody ever wants to hear them again. Like, how many people are requesting the Nutty Squirrels?
Yeah, well, is pretty good. Actually, that's a jazz record.
Yeah.
With a couple of voices spliced in. So,
yeah. Yeah, Sasha Berland, I think, was the guy from that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, the knowledge we can exchange just in a short period of time is just astounding.
Well, it is, and I just hope that it will not, not fade away, because I do worry about that. I know when I talked to Val Shively, he's like, nope, nobody's calling Wanting Records anymore, and really worrisome.
Well, I try to worry about other stuff. I try real hard to worry
about other stuff. Absolutely. Now let me ask you, because you've been writing these books quite a while, and of course, in order to do that, it's one thing to read them, and they're just great to read. But when you get down to all the research that goes behind writing them, because you want to get it right, obviously, and that takes a lot of digging, as firsthand. When you did L.A. R&B vocal groups 1945 to 1965, which is those old school records. Let's go with that, the latest book, and from last year, 1,000 Select R&B Rock and Roll Records. When you were researching that, was there anything you discovered that you did not know?
Oh, lots, but I can't tell you offhand, but I'll tell you one little, it's not a dirty little secret, but it's a sort of a ubiquitous secret. People like me always insert one or two mistakes to see who's... copying my mistakes by, I put in unique mistakes to guard against people just copying my books wholesale.
That's brilliant. Now, let me ask you, has anyone, hopefully the perpetrators would catch on and not do it, but has anybody called you on any of this, not knowing you were doing that, to say, you got this wrong?
Well, if they do catch me doing that, I can use that as my excuse.
I love it. Well, Steve, I promised I wouldn't keep you more than an hour. I won't, but can we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it. You pick the night, and we'll do 1 hour again. Sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
Always enjoy this.
Likewise. Talk to you soon, I hope. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, Wally, good night.
So Steve Probst, just the best. And believe me, I could have kept him all 3 hours. But we got an hour, and I was glad to have it, and I was happy to hog him. Though next time I expect your calls, because like I say, you'll ask me, and I won't know. Next 2 hours, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about St. Valentine, or we'll play romantic doo-ups like All Alone. I don't know. You name it, on WGN Radio.
You.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, as Smokey Robinson once said. If I could sing, I'd be Nolan Strong. Yeah, you are Nolan Strong and the Diablos on Fortune, 1956. And that came out right around the time Fortune was moving. They had a little storefront at 11629 Linwood, and then they were moving to 3942 3rd. And I have no idea why I remember those addresses, but I was trying to remember the phone numbers, because that's the kind of thing that drives me crazy. And I sat here during all of David Jennings' news thinking, well, what was the phone number when they were on Linwood? I still don't know, but maybe it'll come up. But You Are, by the way, is also, as you heard it, that was on vinyl, but is also on Nolan Strong and the Diablo, Nolan Strong and the Diablo's CD, which is nice. Yeah, so Fortune Records, Detroit's finest. Indeed. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And we'll get into the history of Valentine's Day as the 2 hours progress. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. But I had never really bothered to look into it. John said, well, what is it? I said, well, it was St. Valentine. He said, well, tell me about St. Valentine. lapsed Catholics are we. And I said, well, I don't know. I think there might have been more than one. Well, there were. So I'll tell you about that coming up. Yeah, why not? Why not have a handful of them, or at least two? Marcus. And Marcus is in Morrisville, Pennsylvania. All right, Marcus, thanks for calling WGN Radio.
That Sea Crane Radio gave you the credit for it, and it's working good.
Oh, good. So you like it. It was everything you expected?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
I just wish it would do a kilohertz instead of 10, but beggars can't be choosers these days.
Now, which radio did you get?
EP Pro.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have to have the noise. Gotta have the noise.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I really am.
Also, saying goodbye to KDKA Radio. It's time.
Oh, what's going on?
George Soros taking over Odyssey stations.
Oh, is he really? Is that who put the money in?
Yes.
Oh God. Oh God. Well, you know, I give Audacity, as I like to call them, credit. They're the only people who could take the CBS stock and make it worth under a nickel. So, I mean, that's got to be somewhat of a feat. It was hard to believe. So I assume what we're saying is it's Soros's management. Oh, God. Well, I guess David Field won't be too long for the world.
Yeah, their manager retire. Is that who that you're talking about?
Well,
the manager?
David Field is the son of the guy who started at Joe Field. Was a scrappy Philadelphia lawyer in Bala Cynwyd, and he had started Entercom. And I think that he probably had some really good sense. But like a lot of these guys, they send their kids to these Ivy League schools, and next thing you know, they think they know finance, and that's when they thought that, you know, CBS might be a good purchase. So that would be David Field is probably the guy. I don't know if he's CEO or president or what he is, but anyway, it sounds like he won't be.
Right, and my concern, of course, is where can I get Red Eye Radio in Pittsburgh, Gary and Eric? But
well,
you can
get Red Eye Radio on so many stations now. If you're listening to Red Eye Radio and you're not taping it and listening back later, a kudos to you, because that's got to be had a half hour of commercials each hour.
Well, when I listen to that and I balance it with Kyle Warren.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I do. So,
yeah, because there's an awful lot of commercials in that show.
Oh, yeah. I love the overnights. Used to work at AT&T, and I'll be an overnight person until I die.
Yeah. Well, you and me both. I still live for the nightcaps to return.
Yes. Yeah. So my world is turned. I listened to you on and off for 21 years. I just wonder what this, you know, what this is coming to. I mean, George Soros taking over KDKA, it's a sacrilege.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, let's face it, between Odyssey or iHeart or Cumulus, I mean, sadly, you've got companies that are not motivated by greed, they're motivated by survival, and so what they're doing, of course, is just shredding what we used to consider radio. I guess the good news is that when things finally are worthless, that's when creativity returns, but at this point, I would say when we talk about AM or FM, we're talking about the delivery truck. And when we order something from Amazon, we don't look at the truck who brought it up. We just look what's in it. And I think you do have to, like we're talking about Steve Probst, you do have to go online and do things like that to find things that you would like to hear, because it may not be terrestrial radio right now.
Right. Yep. Well, what can you do? Grin and bear it, I guess.
Well, you're right. What's our choice? Yeah, but, you know, those of us who grew up in the 50s and 60s, we had a unique experience that probably never existed sociologically before or since, and that's that we all shared a combined experience growing up. You know, if we were in school in 58 or 62, we listened to the same night guy on the top 40 station every night. All the kids heard the same records and all that. We literally had a commonality that no longer is the case and wasn't the case before that.
Yeah, I if I want my music now, I just turn on Music Choice and be done with it. But,
yeah.
You know, because
Well, I'll tell you, music choice is never going to play my music, but but
I don't know. I,
you know, they insist on playing hits.
You got to look up their app. Yeah, they got hundreds of stations.
Yeah, no, I know, and I know how they try to do it, and kudos to them for trying, but it just doesn't work for me.
Yep, understood.
Yeah.
It's good to hear your voice after all this time, and just... Yeah. You see stuff like Soros and Tatum King, you just, please, I can't take no more.
Yeah, so he, apparently, I just looked it up, and according to Bloomberg, he has acquired $400 million of Odyssey's debt. So, of course, what he's done is he's bought the debt, and what he'll do is he'll convert it to equity. It'll be stock once it emerges from the bankruptcy. So, you know, it's he did some stuff. He bought a bunch of stations from Univision, some television stations, and this Latino Media Network, he bought those from Univision. So he had those. But I don't know of any other terrestrial stations that he's got, and I assume that whatever Soros Management Fund is, that it is probably U.S. based. You know, although with George Soros, you always kind of wonder. But and probably, you know, even if he converts it all to equity and gets a controlling interest, probably it'll be blessed.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I know.
All right,
I know,
Molly. Thank you so much.
Call me again. Good to hear from you, Marcus.
Sure will. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. But, you know, it is what it is. At least you do have online to hear many of the things that you just wouldn't hear anywhere else. Like I say, some of the oldies, if I don't have it in my collection, very often it's on YouTube. Now, maybe not in a condition that I'd want to play it on the radio, but certainly in a condition that I can enjoy it. So the history of Valentine's Day, and of course, celebrated throughout the world. And I figured it was just a deal kept alive by the Florists Association, you know, whatever guild or union they have, right? But no, it's Saint Valentine. So let's talk about this guy, the patron saint. Like I say, the first thing to know is that the Catholic Church recognizes at least three of them, Valentines or Valentinus, all of which were martyred. So there's one. Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome when Emperor Claudius II, you remember him, decided single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families. He outlawed marriage for young men. Valentine, realizing the injustice of the decree, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for young lovers in secret. When his actions were discovered, Claudius ordered him to be put to death. Now, then others insist, nope, it wasn't him. It was St. Valentine, Valentine of Terni, a bishop, who was the true namesake. By the way, he was beheaded by Claudius too also. So, so between those. Then, Valentine was killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisons where they were often beaten and tortured. And so, apparently, an imprisoned Valentine, that's the Terni guy, actually sent the first greeting himself after he fell in love with a young girl, possibly the jailer's daughter, who visited him during his confinement. And before his death, it's alleged he wrote a letter that's signed "From Your Valentine." Yeah, Hallmark seized on that immediately. Although the actual truth and timeline is completely murky, the stories all emphasize this is a sympathetic, heroic, and romantic figure, whoever he is. And so by the Middle Ages, Valentine was one of the most popular saints in England or France, and I don't know which one. Yeah, one of them. Some say, well, it's in the middle of February to commemorate the anniversary of Valentine's death or his burial or his beheading or whatever, 270 AD. Nope, that's not it. Feast day in the middle of February in an effort to Christianize the pagan celebration of Lupercalia. Celebrating at the Ides of February, or February 15th, Lupercalia was a fertility festival dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture, as well as to the Roman founders Romulus and Remus. You remember them. So apparently, to begin the festival, members of the Luperci, an order of Roman priests, would gather at a sacred cave where the infants Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome, were cared for by a she-wolf. The priests would sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purification. They would then strip the goat's hide into strips, dip them into the sacrificial blood, and take to the streets, gently slapping both women and crop fields with the goat hide. How romantic. Far from being fearful, Roman women welcomed the touch of the Hyades because it was believed to make them more fertile in the coming year. And apparently later, according to the legend, all the young women would place their names into a big urn, and the city's bachelors would each choose a name and become paired for the year with the chosen woman. These matches often ended in marriage, probably also in death, but that's not quite as recorded. Lupercalius survived the initial rise of Christianity, but was outlawed, unchristian, at the end of the 5th century when Pope Gelasius declared February 14th St. Valentine's Day. And at that point, it wasn't associated with love, but, you know, during the Middle Ages, it sort of grew. It was commonly believed in France and England that February 14th was the beginning of the birds' mating season, which added to the idea that the middle of Valentine's Day should be a day for romance. And then there, of course, was Chaucer, the English poet, who recorded the first Valentine Day as a romantic celebration in his 1375 poem, Parliament of Fools. Probably well said. For this was sent on St. Valentine's Day, when every fool cometh there to choose his mate. They probably are saying foul, but I'm going with fool myself. All right, so we can, I guess, wrap up Valentine, because we'll save Cupid for later. But the Middle Ages saw the Valentine greetings become really popular. But written cards didn't appear until after 1400. The oldest known Valentine still in existence was written by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London following his capture in some battle or other. And that was in 1415, and it's now part of a manuscript collection of the British Library in London. Several years later, it's believed that Henry V hired a writer named John Lygate to compose a Valentine note to Catherine. Well, all right, so that's the story, and we'll pick it up there. Maybe we'll find some other fine doo-wop to play. Oh, I know what it is. Absolutely. Jimmy P. gave me 6 requests, and I played You Are. That was one of them, actually, which I played by the Diablos. So maybe next is Each Night by Rochelle and the Candles. There's no E, by the way, in Rochelle. It's a guy. All right, so I'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, enjoying that too much, I guess. Rochelle and the Candles, a five-member, all-male African-American group in L.A., and Rochelle was the lead singer. And, yeah, Johnny Wyatt was in that group, too, and I think he did some of the lead stuff, too, and Mel Sasso. There was also a guy named T.C. Henderson who was not related to Rochelle Henderson in any way, although both of them came from Louisiana. I think Johnny Wyatt was from Texas. I think only one of them, Mel Sasso, was actually an Angeleno, but they all wound up there and recorded it at Ted Prinzen's. And most of Larry Williams' early specialty stuff, you'd hear Ted Prinzen on bass, and that was the deal. And I think Earth Angel by the Penguins was also recorded at Ted Brinson's, and a Western Movie by the Olympics. And Rochelle Henderson took the demo down to Hunter Hancock when he was the big guy on KGFJ at night. And he had started swinging in 1959. And of course, if you're aware of swinging records, you're probably thinking of Big J. McNeely. Indeed, that was what Hunter Hancock put out on swinging. And then Once Upon a Time by Rochelle. And on and on it went. So they wound up with a lot of work, a lot of bookings. But everybody expected there would be a woman showing up. Because of Rochelle, but that wasn't the deal at all. He was certainly not remotely female, but they were a fine little doo-wop group there for a moment. And let's see, it was Jimmy P who requested that as well. And yes, it is a fine song, and on swinging. All right, so 888-876-5593. And as I say that, I don't think it was on Swingin'. I know Once Upon a Time was, and I got to go look for my 45s because I think it was on Challenge. So there, that was Gene Autry's label, and I think that was 62 on Challenge, and that probably wasn't Rochelle on lead. That was probably Johnny Wyatt. Well, now that we've settled that, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, let's find out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio News on WGN Radio. James, Baby Walk On In, The Shells. That's 1962 on Johnson. And by then, we had Don Folletti and Wayne Sterl, who had kind of discovered them. They were a couple of kids from Jersey. I mentioned them last time. We were talking about they worked at Times Square Records for a while, and they were all on the lookout for obscure R&B to re-release. And certainly Baby Oh Baby was one that they did re-release in 1960, and several others. The Shells with Nate Bouknight, Little Nat. And that is The Shells, yeah. And I had, gosh, now it's been like 25 years, I had gotten some CDs that Wayne Sterl sent me of a lot of the stuff that they had then at that point put on CD. Have not heard from him since then. Hope he is all right, because there are so many. Of course, Don Folletti, you get into Relic Records, and we're talking about reissue labels and stuff like that. Yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593. Andrew is in Chicago. What's up tonight, Andrew?
Yeah, I missed trivia night, and I'm not looking for a prize or anything, of course, but I just want a trivia question.
Okay, here is a great obscure question. Now, as you know,
for soap opera.
Yeah, this is soap operas, yes. Daytime soaps in America are usually romantic relationships or infidelity or marriage or evil relatives or class differences or, you know, things of that nature. Russian soap operas are very big, but what are they set around?
I believe they usually sit around a lot of crime.
Good enough. The criminal element. That's right. They're serialized and romanticized about the criminal and his place in society. You're absolutely right. I don't know what's wrong with those
people. Oh, yeah. I have a global knowledge. I have a global knowledge.
Well, obviously, yes. Now, of course, you probably don't speak Russian, but have you actually ever seen one of these things?
No, but let's see. I have definitely watched my fair share of Australian and British.
Oh yeah.
There was an Australian soap that I've been watching. It was premiered. It was popular in the 70s and 80s, called Cell Block H, which took place in a women's maximum security prison. It's on YouTube. All like 1,000 episodes, and it's perfect. It's the perfect soap.
Well, that's interesting that Cell Block H, because I always thought of Australian soaps as being done in the great outdoors. I assume most of Cell Block H had to be indoors.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just it. Australian soaps, everybody I've spoken to who have in Australia said that they've sucked for about 35 years because they're not imaginative anymore, like you said. Yeah. But back in the day, you had that. In a lot of very bold shows, like Number 96, which is supposed to have been Number 69 because it's set in like a red light district.
That's funny. Well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, Australia theoretically started as a penal colony for Great Britain. So I guess it would be kind of a comforting memory to have a Cell Block H there for them.
Oh, it was very popular.
Yeah. The Wentworth Detention Center.
It's the perfect, it's the perfect setup.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you have the top dog character, and you have this one character who was incarcerated when she was about 60 because her husband was dying of a terminal illness, and he wanted her to euthanize him, and she was thrown in prison.
Yeah. Well, that's terrible. Terrible. She probably should have gotten an award.
Yeah, well, right, and her daughter disowned her, so she pulled a stunt to get back into prison because she had nowhere else to go.
Oh, wow.
Bold show. Secondly, what I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Are you familiar with a singer named Wing?
Named Wing?
Correct.
I know Wings, you know, the Paul McCartney group, but who's Wing?
No. Oh, she picked up where Mrs. Miller left off.
Oh, God.
She sounds just like her.
That's great. I'm looking her up right now. Oh, man. I've never heard. She's from New Zealand.
She has an Asian accent, too. But she did Total Eclipse of the Heart, The Phantom of the Opera, Michael Jackson songs, up to Lady Gaga.
She sounds
just like Mrs. Miller.
She's from New Zealand.
Right.
New Zealand.
If you look at her and hear her, she's Asian.
Well, yeah, I know she's Asian. I'm looking at her right now. And she apparently did Dancing Queen. Yeah, she looks... Looks particularly good there. Oh, I got to hear this. All right, so let's see. I'll go to YouTube and try Dancing Queen by Wing.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Play it on the radio. On the radio.
Well, absolutely. Oh, Too Much Heaven, too. And Beat It. Oh, man. Well, there's... it's an interesting repertoire, isn't it?
The Dancing Queen in the Total... Clips at the Heart are wonderful.
Well, we'll go with Dancing Queen here for a moment. So. right. So now we got to find out about her. Because you saying she was like Mrs. Miller, that she bought into it? She thought this was good?
Yeah, and she thinks that she has a genuinely good voice. She started out singing to hospital patients. And,
they probably died.
And she didn't know why.
No, I'm telling you, that would be it. They'd be ready to meet their maker after a session with her. Oh, my God.
For a while, she was actually accepting donations, if you were to call in and tell her a song.
Oh, that she took requests, in other words.
Yeah. I'll read up all about her. So
she starred on South Park. Somehow that fits, doesn't it? Yes.
They found her on South. They found her, they discovered her, and they put her voice in. But no, that's how she got famous.
But that's not how she started. Yeah, she was apparently starting. Yeah. I wonder how Trey and Matt found this woman.
That's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. And in 2009, she appeared at Birdland in New York City. Okay, then. Their standards have gone down. So now, in 2015, it was announced that she retired from the music business, thank God. But apparently, the first album she did was Phantom of the Opera. Somehow, that's fitting. So I think that she probably could do Andrew Lloyd Webber very, very much justice, yes, considering what I think of that. But apparently, she's...
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. She's from Hong Kong and has been living in New Zealand. Now, they say that her style is comparable to Florence Foster Jenkins. I have no idea who that is. And Mrs. Miller.
They did a movie about Florence. She's the opera singer.
Well, yeah, she was...
She has a bad voice.
Okay, this was the one that was... She was a socialite at, like, the turn of the last century, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay,
correct.
I do
Meryl
I do
Streep
know this
later.
Is. Yeah, I do know who this was. I've seen pictures of her, and if she sings as bad as she looks, she's in trouble. So Wing Hang Zhang, and apparently was born in 1960. Oh, God. So she's certainly still alive. And her genre is called outsider music. Now, you see, I thought her genre was called torture. So I don't know. All right. So
it makes me laugh. When I'm constipated, I listen to Mrs. Miller. I mean,
well, that could work, yeah.
It works well. She is the brown note.
Yeah, well, yeah. So apparently the cover version have gained an international audience. That is truly, truly painful. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, somebody made money when it finally turned into a joke, but, you know, before it turned into a joke, a record label had to decide to put it out, and you really have to wonder, what were they thinking?
Oh, yeah, they probably just laughed their butts off, you know?
I don't know. In 2008...
I mean, I would have laughed hysterically, and I'd been like, oh, yeah, come on.
Yeah, there was a guy on BBC who would play her stuff on his radio show, and... apparently, he personally paid to fly her over so she could sing at a British festival.
Well, okay. That's lovely.
Yeah, or crazy. So, indeed, and she appeared on New Zealand Music Television. They have a station for that, I guess, C4.
Oh, yes.
Their version of MTV.
On YouTube, you can find her live performances on New Zealand television.
Yes, rocked the nation. Oh, I'll bet it rocked the nation. And she toured the United States in 2009. Fortunately, most of us did not know about it, and that's when she appeared at Birdland. All right, get down with your bad self. I'd still like to know who signed that first contract, you know, because I don't think there are that many drugs made.
I don't know.
Well, interesting. Thank you for bringing that slice of society to my attention.
It's high society, Raleigh.
Well, it very
high
well may society. Be. Now, see, I'm going to look her up to see, all right, something tells me she's married to somebody with money. I want to know who is Mr. Sang. If it, with any luck for his sake, he's six feet under.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, by the way, because I always wanted to hear her on the radio.
Well, you have now.
I'm surprised the tubes didn't blow.
Well, that's because we don't have tubes anymore. Worry not. So.
Well, I have tubes in my radio.
Well, true, but by the time it gets to you, it's been heavily processed, so worry not. All right.
Radio question, quickly. I think I read somewhere... or maybe even said it, that at some point in your career, you did like a lot of engineering work with radio stations.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
what about
incredible. What can you quickly explain to me what polarization is?
For FM, yeah, circular polarization in terms of, I don't know that I could put that into three words, you know, type thing, but you can actually look that up, and you can see the difference between horizontal and vertical and why circular polarization is the answer. And it was a guy in San Francisco who finally convinced the world and the NAB and all to accept circular polarization. So, you can look that
up. Did you get my email?
I don't know. What did it say?
Okay. Oh, I sent you a list of songs that are considered not politically correct anymore. Like, It's Raining Men is considered transphobic.
Oh, yes, there's a long list. And last night when I played Too Fat by Little Freddy, well, Monday night when I played that, where he says, she's big as a pig, I thought, well, that's on the list.
Yeah, and, Beth, Summer Nights from Greece is bad because it's encouraging sexual assault. And my favorite of all is Walk Like a Man is Sexist.
Oh, all right, you go.
I love the Four Seasons. Did you like that song?
I didn't mind. I liked a lot of the early Four Seasons, you know. I loved Candy Girl.
I figured you would because they have really great production.
Yeah, yeah. Baby, It's Cold Outside is always on that list. They claim that it's date rape or something. So
when she mentions the drink, what's in the drink?
Right.
In reality, she's dissing the drink.
Yeah,
she's insulting the drink.
I know people go crazy about that. But no, you can read all about polarization and traditionally AM was vertically polarized, FM more originally horizontally polarized, but like I say, you want to be circular polarization. It doesn't really improve or increase coverage like VPOL, but it will give you on FM better car reception, and that's why you want to go circular. But you can read about it. It will be a subject that is more than two sentences worth, and then you can report back and tell me what you think.
Okay, hopefully you can find my email and reply to it.
Okay.
Anyway, have a great night, okay?
You too. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Bye.
All right. So, and I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe it is time to pay bills. So we'll talk to Marlo in Jackson, and we got another hour. We'll talk to James on the South Side and his stories, and you too coming up on WGN Radio.
Slaughter. I didn't know just what I was doing. I had to marry all face ruin. I met julep. Oh, met julep was the cause of it all.
1952, The Clovers on Atlantic. Yeah, Yellow Atlantic. And that was one of Jimmy P's requests. And, of course, huge hit. Happy to play it. We could talk a lot about that. But we won't be talking about anything while we listen to the news. And then we'll come back and we'll talk to Marlo and Jackson and James. And, Andrew, I sent you a link on Antenna Basics. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and those, of course, are the Chantels, Whoever You Are, End Records, and I think that was like 1959. Yeah, George Gold, 58 maybe. George Goldner wrote the A side, which was Every Night I Pray, and then Whoever You Are was on the B side, and it was Jimmy P who requested that. He had a six pack. I think we played five so far, so the sixth will be coming up. So I had to look this up because, you know, I'm keeping one ear on whatever's going on in the studio and one ear on the news there, and a laryngeal fracture. I'm like, wait a minute. All right. This is not the kind of thing that happens spontaneously. This is not the kind of thing that happens because you overused your vocal cords. This requires blunt force trauma. Now, it can be a sports injury. It can be a car wreck. You know, it doesn't have to be that, you know, somebody drove their knuckles directly into your neck. But it is absolutely some form of blunt force trauma. Now, apparently, Steven Tyler has been talking about this as a reason for cancellations since his doctors confirmed it publicly in September. And in addition to damage to his vocal cords, he fractured his larynx, which requires ongoing care. And that was in September. And so now, of course, you heard on the news that more things canceled or delayed. But what happened? You know, everybody's reported, and he's fractured his larynx, and no one has talked about what exactly happened. I don't know. 888-876-5593. Wow, it's been a long time, but Sergeant Pappy's joining us. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Raleigh, I've been listening to you every night. I just, you know, telling John we've been pretty busy. Me and my son, we were restorating a couple of old cars, you know, we picked up.
Good.
Yeah, I'm doing one of your favorite cars, but probably one of your favorite years, 1990 Corvette convertible.
Oh, very nice.
And then we got a 76 Lincoln Continental Town Coupe. That's the two-door,
uh-huh.
Not the four-door. And when we were doing that, got the big 460 engine and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I've been pretty busy, you know.
Yeah.
And spent all my money, too.
Well, of course.
I don't have no money for records now.
Right,
you know,
right,
record
yeah.
Four.
And chasing after parts, yes.
Well, yes, you know, that's the hardest thing. It took us about, about 2 months to find the right ignition switch for this Continental, because
yeah.
When the guy got it, they didn't have no keys, so the dummy, you know, instead of just going outside the engine compartment and doing it all for the relay and stuff like that, he busted the steering column and stuff, so I had to really deal with all that stuff and everything, you know.
Oh, just some a people nightmare.
Some people shouldn't be allowed to be around cars, I'll tell you.
Among other things, yes.
I'm telling you. I got a little list here. I don't know if you're
yes.
going to play all these songs.
Sure, let's hear it.
Okay, I Know by the Hollywood Flames.
Oh, okay.
Pretty Girl by the Time Tone.
Time Tone, sure. Okay.
I Remember by the Five Discs.
Ah, okay.
Peace of Mind by the Spaniels.
Okay.
It's All in the Game by Tommy Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
And the last one is My Memories of You by Donnie and the Dreamers.
Okay. Okay. You betcha.
So how's everything been going with you? How you been feeling? So?
Terrible. But, in fact, it's funny. We had quite the disagreement before the show because John said, you're not doing this. I said, yes, I am. And he said, no, you're not. And he said, I'm going to call Steve Probst and cancel. I said, don't you dare. And I've made it so far, but I told him earlier, I said, this hour's going to be tough. So I'm delighted you called. So that's good.
Yeah, well, don't be. Why, you know, I don't want to. I know because you say you worried about some of your callers. You know, I hadn't called for, almost a year now, and and so I figured I better give you a let you know that I'm still living and kicking, because my son gets on me too all the time, because he says, Dad, take it easy and stuff, because I had some chest pains the other day, and my ex is a nurse, and he was talking to his mom on the phone, and she told him what to do, it didn't last very long, I got a little bit of case of that angina,
Well, that's where digitalis comes in.
Yeah, that's right.
Under the tongue. Yep.
Yep.
Well, good deal. Well, I'm delighted you called, and don't wait another year, and I will play all your requests. Probably, probably if not tonight, I'll start playing them tomorrow night. We're an hour late tomorrow night due to the Blackhawks, but that still gives me plenty of time to play them.
Oh, yes, it will. And you take care. God bless you and John, and say hello to everybody out there in the radio land. I'm still out here kicking and listening.
Yay. All right. Okay, well, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Bah.
Yeah. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Marlo is in Jackson. Marlo, welcome back to WGN. How have you been?
Well, I've been doing okay. I just been a little hoarse. I can't shake it. So
yeah, I hear that.
I'm still hanging in there with it.
I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to wish a belated happy Valentine, me and my sister.
Yeah, Mona Lisa, how's she doing?
Oh, she's doing good. Yeah,
good.
She's doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. She said she sent you a Valentine card.
I haven't.
Did you get it?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, she's always thinking about you.
Well, that's so nice of her.
So
I really appreciate that. That's so nice of her.
Do you know how funny you are?
Well, it's accidental, trust me.
This girl Wing, maybe I can get her with their record label, and they might help me.
that is just, I can't imagine. I'm going to have to look her up, because either she had a very wealthy husband or somebody was an absolute sadist at a record label to put that out.
I mean, she was out in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never heard of her. Is it W-I-N? Is it Wings?
No, it's just Wings, singular. One Wing, W-I-N-G, One Wing, and from New Zealand, and she's originally from Hong Kong.
Oh, okay, because it seemed like to me when you were listening to hear something different, you did hear something different.
Oh, it was different, all right, yeah. I decided not to listen to more. But her name, apparently Wing is her first name, Wing Han Sang, T-S-A-N-G. And she went by Wing. But as I say, I want to know a little bit more about this woman's background, It said she began by entertaining patients at nursing homes, but I think she killed them. So I don't know. Based on that voice, I don't know how you survive it. So
did you get to see that E+ TV6 interview they did on me?
No.
Okay, yeah, they done showed about 20 times. Yeah, I'm surprised ain't nobody call you from Jackson.
No.
I call friend name on there. I said, dog, I fooled around and called friend name.
No, I want to see this. Where can I see it?
It's on, Dialogue. You looked it up when you was on the phone with me the last time I told you. Dialogue, and they tell you when it's coming on E+ TV6.
E+.
And it's Dialogue. And you read it the last time when it come on. It'll tell you when it come on.
Oh, man.
One of my other members will come on before me, then I come on.
Huh. Yeah, well, I found Dialogue TV in Sri Lanka. We know that's wrong. All right.
Yeah, Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, right. Right, is nowhere near Sri Lanka. So, right, I'll have to try and find this again. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, you read it on the radio the last time I called.
Yeah,
I told you I was going to interview you and mention your name a lot on there. And I mentioned praying name.
Wow. I can't hold a thought captive. So I'll have to look again. I don't know.
Yeah. Dialogue, E plus TV 6.
E plus TV 6. All right.
Yeah.
So this should be something I can find.
Yeah, they'll tell you when they're going to show it.
Yeah. Okay.
Dialogue.
All right. I will do my homework.
Well, let me ask you this. You were mentioning the other night about a lot of Jane Brown book, the Shangri-La. He thought they was a soul book.
Yeah, he did. I know. Isn't that hilarious?
I did, too.
You did?
I did, too, at first when I heard him.
Oh, that's so funny. I never thought that. I just thought they were street girls from Brooklyn or the Bronx. You know, I thought they were just down and dirty white street girls.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that harmony they had on certain songs, they did kind of sound less to me now. And you mentioned some old name that people thought was a white group, but they were the,
Group. Well, the biggest one of that was Donnie Weaver. He had a group called The Occasions, and they did the song Girl Watcher. And he got...
Yeah, right.
Well, Donnie Weaver was a white boy, and he got booked into all sorts of places. And the promoters literally said, son, you're going to get killed. He's, no, I'm not. Don't worry about it. And he never had a problem.
And Bobby Caldwell.
Bobby Caldwell. Yeah. The Reflections that did Just Like Romeo and Juliet.
That's right.
Yeah.
It really sure did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was surprising to me. I never knew they were until I saw a picture. Yeah. I never knew they were a white group. So, yeah.
You see the Average White Band and Wild Cherry and them, all that.
Yeah.
Oh, that, you know, they did in Halls and Oates. Oh, they come out, Tina Marie.
Yeah, I know. So
I mean, that was just natural. They didn't sound good. They really, they were doing their thing, but they just sounded like that.
Well, you know, I guess in the long run, it's just we like it or we don't like it. As far as I'm concerned, all the records are black. I don't care what color the performers are.
I don't either. I just like them or I don't.
You know, because there are just what I hate is when white people who love soul, and God love them for loving soul, but they try to cover it and they literally give it a soulectomy, like Linda Ronstadt. It's like, don't do this. You know, stick to your lane.
Give me a different drum,
but do not desecrate Doris Troy.
I feel you.
You know, so that part drives me crazy. But other than her heart was in the right place. She liked the music, but geez, Louise, she did not have soul.
She's not well either.
I know. She's not doing well at all.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. And when she was with the Stone Ponies, I thought that, you know, for what that kind of music, she was great. But I just didn't want to see her trying to, redo R&B. It's like, don't you dare. But
well, I know, but the Eagles used to back her up before they made.
Oh, yeah, the Eagles. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. They sure did.
Yeah.
They were running the rush. Yeah, sure did. Yeah, I thought I said hi to you.
I'm so glad you called. I am. So tell Mona Lisa hi, and I will look for this TV stuff, and I don't know why I can't find it.
Yeah, you read it to me the last time.
Well,
I'm
telling you, that figures, doesn't it? Yeah, that figures. E plus TV 6.
Yeah, Dialogue. That's the name of the show, and you were reading when I was going to be on there.
Yeah, right. Great. Right. And I got off the air and promptly forgot every word of it.
forgot every word of it.
Yeah,
I mentioned you real good, and they done showed it a bunch of times. I'm surprised ain't nobody called you from Jackson.
Yeah,
they show it over and over. They don't never quit showing it. They keep showing it over and over. And I mentioned friend name on there, and I said, dog, I sure did. Her name popped in my head when I was mentioning about the bumper stompers you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for that. Why?
Yeah,
I don't know why.
You played my record one night by mistake.
Uh-huh.
And when it just come out, and you say, y'all never get this, you know, the letter start with an M, the record start with an M.
Yeah.
And friend called in and said, that was Marlo.
Ah.
So I mentioned that, so it just popped in my head when I was doing an interview.
Yeah, that's great. All right. I don't know why I'm no longer seeing this. I'm obviously I'm not looking at this up correctly, and it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, E plus TD6.
E plus
TD6.
All right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Then. Wait a minute. Let me see something right quick. It ain't going to take but a second.
All right, because I'm seeing this and I'm learning everything like track vision of TV6 marine satellites. No, I don't want to see that. I'm not seeing this.
You ain't. E plus TV6.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is on the TV. Yeah, that's what they call it. I don't understand that because you mentioned even Steve Biles' name. He the one host the show. But you sure read it the last time I was on there. I don't know what can be happening.
Oh, God.
It's dialogue.
All right.
You usually find stuff quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it is absolutely not coming up. Is it local to Jackson?
Yeah, Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay.
Steve Biles, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe that will maybe that will help me. I'll keep looking.
Okay, then. Yeah, E plus TV6.
All right, Jackson, Tennessee. All right, it should be there.
I understand. So, because you so read it the last time.
This is not good. All right.
It ain't good either.
Yeah, really, I'm telling you. My mind did pack up and leave me a long, long time ago. But I will continue to look. I will find this one way or another.
Okay. All right. Thank you again.
Glad
to hear John Paul. Glad he's doing,
well
respect.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to you soon. I'm glad you called.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Why isn't this coming up? E plus TV6. I'm seeing everything in the world all over the world. Oh, well, yeah, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and God knows mine is wasted. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Four Tops, not on Motown, on Casablanca, 1981, when she was my girl. All right, and I think that is Jimmy P6. I think I did play all six of them. I hope so. Anyway, I'll count later. I found it, by the way. All right, so Marlo's TV show. And it is, I don't know why it took me this long, but it did, E plus 6 TV schedule. And it is in Jackson, Tennessee. It's public access television. And this Friday, at 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning, dialogue with guest Marla Lanier and Joe McKinney, by the way. But yes, so that is from 7:30 to 8:30 this Friday, the 16th. Now, what I don't know is whether or not I can see any of this on TV. I mean, on online. So yes, they have E Plus Broadband and Jackson Energy Authority. So, but E Plus TV 6 Jackson, that's the deal. All right. Marlo, we found it. Oh, Took me long enough, didn't it? Let's find out what's going on in the world at large, then we'll be back to Valerie and to James and you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, the late, great Jesse Belvin. And that was one of Steve Probst's top five favorite doo-wops. That was on Cash, which was one of John Dolphin's label. And Jesse's wife, Joanne, wrote that. And that was released. Actually, it was a B-side of Dry Your Tears in 1957. So, 888-876-5593. Like I say, I found E-Plus TV, but not only that, I found E-Plus Broadband, so Marlo and I need to chat a second here. So, Marlo, do you have fiber to the house? Or we lost Marlo. I guess we'll have to tell us next time. Yeah, they have your standard fare that you'd expect, but they also offer fiber to the premises, you know, fiber to the house. And, yeah, symmetrical speeds. Oh, man. Yeah. For $70, basically, you can get 1,000 down and 1,000 up with the E-Plus gig. I'm salivating is what I'm doing. So 888-876-5593. Valerie in Warrenville, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good morning, Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I found a bottle of Mexican Coca-Cola.
Well, that's what here. I'm drinking it as we speak.
Excellent. But I missed out on the opportunity of buying a case at my local Sam's Club.
Well, it'll be back there again. Get a case. Now, the only thing when you serve this to yourself, what you have to do is before you drink it, put it in the freezer for about half an hour because you want to get it right down to where ice crystals are forming. You don't want to freeze it. You don't want to turn it into ice, but you want it just 33 degrees. Because that's the way it used to be at the vending machines. And for God's sakes, don't put ice on it.
Yeah, well, that will dilute it, yeah. You're talking about the vending machines where you put your dime or your quarter or your nickel in, depending on what it is.
Yeah, right.
You open up that little door, and then you pull it out.
Yes, that's the one. Well, see, they kept those.
I remember those. My dad had one of those.
They kept those at 33 degrees. So, you see, you got to get your refrigerator won't go that far down. So, you got to put it in the freezer, and it depends on your freezer because you don't want to freeze the thing. But you want to get it just before you've frozen it.
So, set a timer for 20 minutes and check it.
Well, again, I don't know your freezer. You know.
Yeah, my freezer. That's what I'd have to do.
All right. There you go.
Okay, perfect. And the other, I've been wanting to get a copy of your book.
Well,
with what the conversation you've been having with guests and stuff like that, I'm requesting that you update the book and republish it book.
I will never republish it. What I'm going to do here when I get the time, and it could be a while because it's on that infamous to-do list, so I don't know when, I'm just going to make it available free to anybody. But for God's sakes, do not pay the prices that people are selling it on the used market. It's insanity. I'll make it for free. I just haven't yet. You know, I mean, I did the first pressing. It sold out. I certainly made all my money back and then some. I'm not trying to get rich on this. I am never updating it. I'm not writing another book. I promised I'd write one. I wrote one. That's it. And I'll get it, you know, get it online at some time.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why I call you professor is because you have so much knowledge that the rest of us need. And you understand it in a way that we comprehend it, thereby we can teach it to other people.
Well, I don't. You'll have to tell me after you read it what you think. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, yeah, but for me, you are, like the others say, a fountain of information. But you say it in such a way that we not just understand it, we comprehend it so that we can teach it to other people.
Well, very nice of you to say that. I just try to have a good time for 3 hours on the radio.
And you do, and I love it, which is why most of the time I'm so silently listening that I don't have time to put my 2 cents worth in because I'm hanging on every one of your words.
Ah, well, good to hear from you whenever you do call. Thanks, Valerie.
You're welcome.
All right,
thank
talk to you soon. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. So Marlo has called back, and Marlo, I want to know, are they offering fiber to the premises in your neighborhood?
Nope.
Oh, well, then screw them. I mean, I know that they're advertising this, but I thought, how big a footprint does this really have? Like, how many people can get this fiber to the premises?
I don't know.
But you can't. That's a shame, because I was really salivating at this package. 1,000 down, 1,000 up. Oh, man. Moving tomorrow. Yeah. Well.
Now, what, you talking about 1,000 what now?
We're talking megabits. In other words, a gig. 1,000 megabits of download and 1,000 megabits of upload. Symmetrical speeds.
I don't know.
Wow.
Are you talking about that eplustv6.com?
No, yeah, but I'm not talking about the TV here. I'm talking about the internet. The E-plus internet is theirs too.
Oh, I don't, you know, a lot of that stuff, I don't.
Yeah, it's part of Jackson Energy Authority.
Right.
And they're doing E-plus TV6, but they're also doing E-plus internet. E-plus broadband. E-plus broadband
right,
is what
that's
they call
true,
it.
True. Yeah, I know right. Where you come from.
So,
yeah.
So, okay, E-plus broadband. Now, in some areas of Jackson, they're offering fiber to the premises, meaning you can get a gig down and a gig up, symmetrical
right,
speeds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But where you're living, you can't get it.
No, I didn't know that. I know it's that E plus. It's the name of the show is Dialogue.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not talking about the show now. I was just talking about their broadband. But I found the show.
We can, yeah.
You are on it on Friday morning from 7:30 to 8:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but
yeah, that's it, Dan.
I'd like to know how big.
I don't use internet.
Yeah.
Not a lot. I just, you know, I ain't offered it that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know you know about all that stuff, but I know that you read it before, but I forgot to put that .com on there.
Yeah, no, we got it. And but like I say, I'd love to know how big their fiber footprint is, so I'll try to keep reading on that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying now. See that it's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, well, really. so then you can get that gigabit speed. Same down, same up. Nice.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right. I feel you now.
I'm jealous. Oh, well.
I feel you now. You were losing it for a while, but I feel you now.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we're on the same page. All right. Well, good deal. And I found the show, so Friday from 7:30 to 8:30. Good deal.
Yeah, they done showed about 20 times since the last time I
Well,
you
and they do
over and over.
They do stream it online. The only problem is it's 7:30 in the morning. But I'm hoping that I will see it soon, where it's on an evening time, and I'll watch it. I'll keep looking.
Come on different time. Cause another one of my members of the group talking before me, then I come up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah, but. Yeah, come on, sometimes 2 or 3 times a day. It just varies.
Yeah,
I kind of
saw that. They're sort of desperate for programming there. So, yeah.
Well, they have a lot of entertainment. It's just a local station, but it gets out everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Local
and they got their schedule right there. And like I say, they stream it right on TV. on the internet, so you can watch it. So this Friday, 7:30 to 8:30, Dialogue, Joe McKinney and Marlo Lanier.
Yeah, okay. So all it'll come on again probably that evening or night. Do it have that in there?
Yeah, it doesn't show that it does, but hopefully next week I'll keep looking.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, Marlo. Well, appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so they don't have any information yet for next week. They just say no schedule available. Check back. So I will. But yeah, fiber to the premises. Oh, if only I can dream. Oh, well, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll talk to James on the South Side with his 9 zillion stories. And you too, if you want to call on WGN Radio. GN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There it is. Parliament, tear the roof off the sucker. And that is Johnny D's request. Yeah, George Clinton at his almost finest in Parliament. And just mentioned Casablanca. Of course, to me, it was a decade earlier when it was still the Parliaments and they were doing Don't Be Sore at Me on Revelot. Now there is a record. But yeah, right, sold 3 copies. However, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker did very well. So, and George Clinton and Bootsy Collins wrote that. Yes, indeed. All right, James on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio. James, what's up tonight?
How are you feeling?
Terrible. But thank you for asking. But like I say, it was an argument with John. He absolutely said, you're not doing this show tonight. And I said, watch me. So I think that I've almost survived it. I've only got about 8 minutes to go.
Yeah, well, okay. Although some of these stories are probably going to test your limits,
I know. But there were some good ones, too.
Yeah, there was the man who gave away his fortune to help others.
Yeah, and
before he died.
Right. I still don't really. I'm not on board with that. I think it's wonderful and all that he did, but you know, I'd want to be dead first. What I mean, I realize he was 92. How long would he live? But I'd want it to go after I was gone, because what if I gave it away and then needed it?
That is, but I think he wanted to make certain that nobody would like try to backfill on him on it.
Yeah.
And he, I think there was things he wanted to, basically he saw that he that people that needed, he said, I don't need this.
Yeah, well.
I can't take it with me, and I can't do a number of other things, but I can help others.
Well, hopefully he worked it out that if he did need it before he went, it would be there for him. I didn't read the particulars on that. But yes, it was very nice. And I can't tell you the amount of people who screw up those they left behind with bad wills or bad trusts where they just don't realize what a heartbreak it's going to become.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, then there are people who decide that, okay, the worst things they can do is to family. Like the special needs who basically decide to kill one relative, almost kill another,
Yeah, we'll stay away from that. Now, what I did like, though, I'm not a fan of Airbnb as a concept, actually, for a lot of reasons. But this was a hilarious story to me because I wasn't involved in it. But apparently, a guy did an Airbnb and was dissatisfied with the accommodation and posted a bad review online. Little did he know, after he rented the 4-bed, 2-bath home for a weekend with old friends from Memphis, that when he refused to pay additional fees and penalties for having extra guests over or violating 2 of the house rules, the host emailed his wife a photo taken by one of the property security cameras, which showed him in the company of another female at 3:16 in the morning. So meanwhile, the plaintiff, obviously the guy who was canoodling with the wrong woman, he's suing. And so his lawyer says the marriage has suffered as a result, boy, I guess. It caused him extreme emotional distress, public humiliation, mental anguish. And apparently the Airbnb owner's lawyer didn't comment on this. So it was interesting because what you did say, I'd love to speak with you, but I've been advised by my attorney it's not appropriate. Well, so here was July of 2022. He's going to attend a football game in Memphis. And a friend had recommended this 3-bedroom, 2-bath Airbnb. He filed for it. He booked for a 2-night stay. He didn't realize that he was being photographed.
Yeah, actually, that's usually standard practice for Airbnb because, hey, you're only renting this place. Okay, they have to make certain that if something comes up, like they have their records and you have yours.
Well, what they should do is post it, as far as I'm concerned. They should say that your activities are being recorded.
Yeah, this is like one of those reality shows, although unfortunately you're in it and you just didn't realize you signed up for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, there's the deal. Security cameras, they said, security cameras on the exterior of the house are in use at all times. Well, so now the question is, were these pictures only on the outside of the house? Who knows?
Yeah, and now, obviously, now, if he wasn't doing anything, now the problem is he should have been at least straight with his wife about, there was something I needed to get done and that sort of thing. At least if there wasn't anything to it.
Well, there was something to it, obviously, but I don't think anybody would expect that the Airbnb owner would, in fact, email a picture. So I guess I understand her angst, but I can't imagine anybody else is going to book this particular unit.
Oh, no. And I think now that, this is going to be a hard sale.
Yep.
A hard event.
Yep. So,
people behaving badly with man's best friend. There was the dogs that were locked into a butcher house in a bin owned by a butcher house or a butcher place, something like that.
Oh God!
And they found them, and I said, "What is going on here?"
Yeah. I don't even want to know. We also have a man who was poisoned with an opioid painkiller, and the poisoner rewrote their will. Clever. So.
Basically, somebody definitely had multiple ulterior motives.
Yeah, I guess what I often wonder is, why do they think they're not going to get caught unless they're doing this regularly?
They are. Then it's going to be a lot of people basically saying, doing like that famous line uttered by Khan, basically, about revenge best served cold.
Yes. We have a Florida woman who tried to kill her husband because he received a postcard from an ex of 6 decades ago. So Apparently,
yes.
He'd been married to this woman for more than 50 years, and she became enraged that some woman he dated over 60 years ago sent him a postcard. So apparently, she, 71 years old, tried to smother him with a pillow in North Miami Beach, of course. Why should I wonder? And they found the victim in an extremely fragile state, according to police, I guess, with several bruises, open lacerations, bite marks, and more. She's in jail. So,
okay, I'm like thinking, okay, apparently, okay, she must have known something about this ex at one time. Maybe they, and she remembers, or maybe there's something she remembers about unique characteristics about this particular ex, and it just simply burned her, like a burnt made her blood boil.
Or else she's just crazy. And you have ended the night. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Take care. Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm going with crazy. All right, so we made it through the week, and Monday there is a full show. I don't know if there are any interruptions next week. Let me quickly look at this and see about February. Let's see. February. No, I think we got full shows all next week. That would be the 19th through the 22nd, 3 big hours each night. So there'll be a replay tomorrow night of Monday Night Trivia, and then live shows for Monday Night Trivia, and then the rest of the week. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. I thank John for screening your calls, but especially I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.